You're listening to What's Up with Wendy.
I think fight song might be my new song for my show.
Ooh, all right.
How's that?
I hear you. Okay, Wendy, I love it.
This show is brought to you in part by Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Get lash extensions worth falling in love with. My heart is literally skipping a beat. I am a huge fan. Welcome to my show, Paul Reiser.
Wow, thank you. That is so nice.
I am thrilled to welcome back to my show, Barbara Corcoran.
Welcome and congratulations, Wendy, having a national show now. I'm very proud of you.
Well done.
You took a little thing and made a big, big thing.
Michael Bolton.
Hello. Is this...
This is Wendy, yes.
Hi, Wendy. I've reached the real ones. Okay.
The real things. Welcome back to my show, the beautiful Maria Menounos.
I was excited when I saw you on the lineup. I'm like, yes, Wendy. You're always so bright and happy, and you are a great interviewer, so thank you so much.
Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Can your son play, Wendy? How big is he?
The beautiful Vanessa Williams.
I know you come from a very strong line of women.
Exactly right.
Your mom was a force to be reckoned with.
You must have read my book. Both my parents helped me become the person that I am.
Four-time Emmy Award winner, two Grammy nominations, three gold records, seven public television special, 8 million records sold. His consistency as a popularity as a TV and radio broadcaster has only amplified his personal connection with his loyal listeners and his fans. We get to listen to him 6 days a week on Intelligence for Your Life. I could not be more thrilled to welcome back to my show one of my all-time favorite human beings ever, John Tesh.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. So last time we spoke, now you have three grandchildren.
Yeah. I guess you can't stop nature, right? They just keep popping out.
Isn't it the greatest thing ever?
It's pretty hilarious. Yeah. But it's really been Connie's, my wife's joy. We end up it's a small world at least two or three times a month outside of Disneyland.
How awesome. That's great. So I could listen to Intelligence for Your Life all day long. I've learned so much through you.
First of all, I appreciate it, but also that's really how the show was, I hate to use the word organic, but, you know, there's a story where Howard Schultz, who started Starbucks, you know, he was on vacation in Italy, and he was really enjoying all the coffee bars there. And he said, you know, we just don't have that experience, at least on a large scale, in North America. And that's the party line on how Starbucks was started. It's like, you know, just invest in what you know or what you're passionate about. And it happened that way for the radio show where Connie was complaining about my side of the bed before we go to sleep one night, and it was my side of the bed is always just a whole bunch of wires and iPods and broken keyboards and stuff, and so I had to find something to cross complain about, and so I looked at her side of the bed, and it was, I hadn't noticed, but it was all these magazines, you know, it seemed like hundreds of magazines all stacked up with little sticky notes sticking out of them, and I said, well, what's all this stuff? And she goes, oh, these are my articles. I just haven't gotten around to them, and I thought, wow, there's an idea for a radio show, is to hire a bunch of really good researchers and curators and take these 5,000-word studies and turn them into, you know, 2-minute pieces on the radio surrounded by music. And then we started well off with like 6 stations, and then we formed these relationships with some really high-end institutions, including the Mayo Clinic, Harvard Wellness Review, and all the different journals. And so we really get a lot of the research first before it's published, and that's what I think makes the show cutting edge.
See, that's the thing. I don't have to read anything. I don't have to do anything. I just have to listen to you all day long, and I get all my news.
Well, it's so...
it's the greatest thing.
It's so funny because, you know, we really do... we spend a lot of time figuring out what, you know, if you can't, well, what's the mantra that I'm always saying? You know, if it doesn't move you forward in your life, if it doesn't cause you to make a difference in somebody else's life, we won't put it on the radio. So I lived my life as a newscaster. Most people just remember me from Entertainment Tonight. But before that, I worked in Orlando and Raleigh and Nashville and then New York at WCBS for 12 years. You know, in the newsroom where the research department was king, right? You couldn't put anything on the air until the research department checked it out. And then Entertainment Tonight. And so the the research part of this is really important because, as we know, there's so much bad stuff on the internet. And also, every time I'm driving around, no matter what city I'm in, if we're touring, you know, for music, and if I see a traffic jam, I'm like, ah, there's more listeners, you know. So, trapped in your car is a chance for learning, right?
Yeah, but there's also something, John. It's something about your voice. It's just I don't think anyone can do it like you do it. So there's something about that. What's your favorite thing to talk about? Do you have a favorite thing, or is it just everything? Because there's always something to learn.
I do. It used to be. I mean, I was basically being groomed to be a scientist in college. I took a whole bunch of chemistry and organic chemistry, quantitative analysis and biology and physics and all that stuff, because my parents were convinced I would starve to death if I was a musician, and they were probably right. So I've always been really interested in how to hack your body to health, and I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and it's everything just sort of stops. You know, you can almost hear the brakes on the car. It was a very rare form of cancer. It didn't make any blood markers, and it was just a journey where my wife, you know, stopped acting, quit her job, and we traveled around to places like Johns Hopkins and Northwestern University and MD Anderson, and we had got genetic testing done, and none of that stuff would have been possible, A, without my wife's connections, but B, without what we do for a living, which is, we just scarfing up research all that. Right. So I immediately started reading every book I'd get my hands on, you know, Cancer as a Metabolic Disease by Peter Seyfried,
did you have no signs? Was it just a routine?
Yeah, it was prostate cancer, and I'm very young for prostate cancer, so there was no sign at all, and it didn't make any PSA.
Right.
There were 6 tumors, and my GP just sort of found it, you know, by accident. And then when I went in for all the scans, they're like, "Whoa, wait a second!" And then I had these 2 surgeries, and then it traveled to my lymph nodes, and so I had a bunch of those taken out. But through it all, because of the radio show and because of people that we had interviewed, we, you know, beyond the chemotherapy and the androgen deprivation therapy and then the surgery, I went on a ketogenic diet, and I talked about this on the radio show before. And Connie and Gib went on it with me in solidarity, and now, you know, there's so much research about how great it is, and basically you can look it up. It's hard. It's a very, very hard diet. It's hard on you at first as you're transitioning, and not that kind of transitioning. It's just hard to find food. So it's basically 80% saturated fat and 10% protein and 10% carbs. And so you're burning saturated fat instead of glucose, because cancer cells love glucose. In fact, they love fructose. So that was not to get too far in the weeds on this thing, but that was real. A lot of that stuff came from Connie's health show and from the people she had interviewed, right? We just sort of called them up and said, "Hey, what do we do?" "Oh, this is the guy. Here's the guy that should operate on you. Here's this book to read. Here's this paper."
That amazing.
Yeah. It is. And so you started asking a very simple question.
Which That's
is,
okay.
You know, what's my favorite piece? My favorite piece is, you know, we talk about it on stage when we're doing concerts, find your purpose in life, find your mission, and pick a lane, as Lin-Manuel Miranda said, you know, before he created Hamilton, the musical, you know, pick a lane and stay in that lane, because we get distracted and we get pulled out of our lane and we crash and burn. And so the lane that we pick, people are always suggesting, "Hey, why don't you do the celebrity birthdays? Hey, why don't you do this piece on Michael Jackson or on sexual harassment?" So, I mean, sexual harassment is actually something we would do a piece on. We'd have like 2 or 3 tips from an HR expert as to how to spot somebody, who is prone to harassment. But as far as entertainment news, our lane is just, if it doesn't improve your life, if it's not a conversation starter for you to help somebody else, we're just not going to put it on the show.
And isn't it amazing that your life's journey led you to this? And then led you in the way to heal your own self through how you heal everybody else every day. It's amazing.
Yeah, you said that well. I think that, the part I left out was that we also, there are 2 or 3 people that we really respect who are evangelists and who studied the Old Testament and the New Testament, and so they were helping us with specific prayers that we could use for healing and have people in intercessory prayer praying for my healing, and so it was a holistic approach. That's an overused word, but it really, that's the real definition of holistic living. So it was diet, it was exercise, and it was also, surgery and chemo and the conventional methods. And, a lot of times, MD Anderson is different because it's really a very research-based cancer facility. But a lot of surgeons will just sort of roll their eyes at you when you say, well, I'm not eating any sugar and I'm not eating any protein, that kind of, because cancer cells can also ferment protein.
Right.
And so you get the eye rolling thing. But, a lot of those guys, all they're doing is cutting. They're not seeing all the research. There was somebody else I was going to tell you about all this, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was about prayer and healing prayer. There's a great book that I would recommend. It's an old book. It was written by a guy named Joseph Murphy.
Okay.
And if you look it up on Amazon, it's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. It's basically a secular book, but it also talks about non-secular ways to use prayer. But it talks about how if you speak death over yourself, if you speak sickness over yourself, you're going to have it. And so James Allen also wrote a book called, and almost an ancient book too, called As a Man Thinketh, So Is He. So, you become what you think about most of the time. And that was the thing that I had to get out of, because I became a cancer patient. I talked about myself to people as a cancer patient, and I had to get out of that. And my wife helped me, with that, and just trying to hack my subconscious mind and using journaling at night. Things like I am healed, and then putting down scriptures and things. And
I
things
will
like
be
that.
Okay. What you said is true, and I'm definitely going to get Joseph Murphy's book too. Anything that you say, John, I'll do. And if you just tuned in, I'm talking to the amazing, one of my favorite all-time people, John Tesh. A lot of people, they remember you from Entertainment Tonight, of course, but it was always music first.
Yeah, it always has been. It wasn't my decision. At first, my mom was grew up in rural North Carolina. She's in a family of seven kids, and when she was a little kid, her house burned down, and they were homeless, and she lived a tough life. But my mom and dad, they built a great life for themselves. He was a self-made man who came out of World War II, and they he got a job, working for Hanes Underwear, and moved to Long Island. And we were the only house on Seabury Road in Long Island in Garden City where we had aluminum siding.
Wow.
And aluminum siding is like it's like having a Tesla today.
Yeah, it's like a big deal. Yeah.
It's a big deal. Anyway, my mom was a very proud woman. She was very, very proud of what she accomplished, and she decided that all of her kids were going to learn how to play piano. And so when I was six, I got strapped to the upright piano and with an egg timer there, and that thing just it just kicked away and it haunted me, and I couldn't go outside and play with my friends until I practiced for 2 hours. So to answer your question, I was not happy about music early on, but as soon as I got into the marching band and the orchestra, we had a great elementary school on Long Island. That was a lot more camaraderie. I even give that advice today when parents ask, hey, what should I get my kid into? And I say, forget about the solo instruments. Everybody's doing that. They all want to be on The Voice or American Idol, or they want to be the next Joe Satriani, guitar player. You should put them in the band, because you get a chance to, it's good competition in the band. You get a chance to tune up with people. You're in a club, basically, so you get to travel and you get to do the marching thing and all that. And I learned so much about music, and still to this day, I have a musical vocabulary where I can talk to my sax player, or I can go over to the cello section because I know what range they play in. I know how to read charts thanks to my mom. Uh-huh. And so that basic education I think is really important. But I think playing in an ensemble is more important than any other.
I agree with you 100%. My mom made me take those piano lessons when I was young, and I didn't like any minute of it, and now I wish I would have kept going with something.
We used to play after Red Rocks. we would play, this, that was our big PBS special in 94, we were playing amphitheaters, so, you know, 10, 12,000 people a night, and we would do a 50-city tour, and you tend, unless your family's traveling with you, they tend to forget you, and so we started doing, like, two or three dates, you know, a weekend, things like that. A lot of musicians will do that, but this time around, especially coming out of the chemo fog that I went through, I wanted to do more of a storyteller's thing, where we went out and told stories about how some of these songs were written. It's the kind of concert I would want to go to, and then talk about what I've learned. I was homeless, you know, as a junior in college because I made a wrong decision. I signed a professor's name to a drop ad card, and I got thrown out of school, and I got thrown out of my house, and I was living in a tent.
I didn't know that.
I'd never talked about it before, and you know, you were reading off this list of bio stuff, which was very, very sweet, you know. But I'm thinking, you know, she hasn't seen the stuff about me shooting myself in my foot, because not a lot of people mention that. But when you talk about it, and on stage, and then really sort of go through the song and go through what was happening during those days, if that hadn't happened to me, if that professor hadn't stood up and said, "Hey, listen, this guy broke the honor code. We have to suspend him from school," I probably would end up. I would have been in a lab somewhere mixing beakers back and forth, because that was the path that I was on. So God burned me down, and I ended up in the radio business when I was like 19 years old. And busing tables, living in a park, and I was Rick D's news guy in 1973. And so it's a lot of those stories. When you asked what it was going to be about, a lot of Christmas music, but a lot of fun stories that I think people will relate to in their own lives. Maybe not being thrown out of school, but certainly maybe health challenges.
Because everyone can relate to something or another. We're all human. We all had some kind of journey going through that.
Not too many people know you have written the theme music for the NBA on NBC. How did these opportunities come to you, and how amazing?
I think part of it is just being in the right place at the right time. You know, I was working for CBS Sports and NBC for 12 years, and I knew that they needed a theme for the NBA, and I also, having worked there for the longest time, I knew what it needed to, the format. You know, it needed to be, you know, 12 seconds of this and 15 seconds of that, and probably needed to be at the same pace as a fast break. But I just needed to come up with a melody, and so I was on the road covering the Tour de France, and in the middle of the night, and this happens to everybody, in the middle of the night, my subconscious mind, you know, said, "Hey, here's an idea." And so I called my answering machine back in the States. I was in Europe at the time, and I just sang, you know, and I got home, and it was on my answering machine, and I figured it out on the piano, and then we orchestrated it and sent it to NBC, and they said, "Well, this works." And then it put two of my kids through college. So I wish they were all like that. I have an answering machine that's filled with silly melodies that didn't work out to be anything.
That's amazing. How did you come up with the idea of the Red Rocks concert that was such a huge success and includes so many Olympic athletes?
Yeah, well, you know, because I'd written music for so many years, for sporting events. I wanted to do something that was big, first of all. And while I was working for Entertainment Tonight, that was really how people saw me. And I saw myself as a musician. So I wanted to do a big program that would say, "Hey, listen, this is what I do." So the concept came to me at watching, the Moody Blues at Red Rocks, and then watching Three Tenors, on PBS. I said, "Wow, what about a PBS?" Because I couldn't get a record deal. Nobody would sign me. So in order for this to happen, it has to be something big. So long story short, my wife and I took a second mortgage on our home, and because PBS wasn't paying for it, because I was really unknown. And we did that, we put together that show, and like you said, with Bart Conner and Nadia Comaneci each in the audience performing at the same time. And it was a magical night. You know, we almost got rained out. The orchestra had to leave for a while we played in the rain, and it was, the audience didn't move. You know, so it was probably the largest professional blessing in my life, for sure.
What inspires
you? I'm sorry.
What inspires me? I'm so excited to talk about so much to talk about, and I learn from you every single day. Seriously, I said it at the beginning, you're one of my all-time favorite human beings.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you very much. I can't get that in my house. I'll get it from you. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Back anytime.
You know what I love doing is, and I've been like this since I sometimes you're doing stuff in your life, right? And then you don't walk around going, oh, you know how I think about, here's how I think about that, or here's how I think about this. But, you know, anytime I have a dinner party conversation, or this conversation that you and I are having, you know, you get asked a question that you may not have asked yourself, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I didn't know I felt that way. But I look back at my life, and I realize that the same thing that I'm doing right now is what I really enjoyed when I was in elementary school, and not only music, but that is, I love reading biographies. I am so inspired by biographies. And so I'm in the middle of it. And with Kindle, right, you can read five books at the same time. So I'm reading Walter Isaacson's Leonardo da Vinci. You know, you talk about a talented guy. I'm also reading a book, the biography of Mozart. And then I'm reading my friend Ryan Holiday's book, which is The Obstacle is the Way. And that's a great book because that shows people who have gone through obstacles in their lives and come out the other end. And a lot of it is based on great classic examples of everybody, including Howard Hughes. But taking all the way back to the Stoics, you know, so it's Seneca, Epictetus, Marcus Aurelius, you know, and Marcus Aurelius, who basically said in Latin, the obstacle is, you know, the impediment is the way to action. And so I really love those biographies. And I will the movies that I watch are if I can find something better than Gladiator, then I'll watch that. But I'll ask my wife. She would tell you right now that I watch Gladiator at least once a month. Braveheart, the same type of thing. Although Gladiator is more, it's more of a clear and present demonstration of a man who has strength and honor, who stands up for his family and will not shirk his responsibilities. And there are many psychotherapists now who will use what's known as quote unquote movie therapy with people who are going through challenges in their life. And they'll find a movie where the character is going through that same challenge, and they'll watch that movie over and over again. So biographies and movies, heroic movies. So I love all the, you know, I grew up reading.
I can't imagine.
Spider-Man and Captain America.
You're such a world of knowledge. I mean, every day what you do, you learn so much every day through what you do every day and through what you teach us. I don't even know how your brain absorbs all that.
You know, it doesn't get it all. There is a sameness sometimes to the advice that we give, and sometimes it'll come from Harvard, next time it'll come from Mayo Clinic, next time it comes from Dr. John Gottman, you know, the psychotherapist, yes, or family counselor, and you know, in Seattle. So eventually, it sinks in. But it is a scientific term. My intellectual life, I would say, is a life of high entropy, where there's always first of all, we do a radio show every day, right? And that's 6 days a week.
Yeah.
So it usually takes me about, you know, 2.5-3 hours to do this show, production of the show, but it's another 2 hours of reading the day before. And that's what I really enjoy. I love because the researchers, the 10 researchers, they'll find this stuff, right? And then they'll try to outguess me to see what I'd be interested in. And so then I'll use it. So we'll take about 60% of what they find, and then I'll take about 30% of that. So by the time I'm starting my next day, I've been exposed to stuff I wouldn't normally read.
Oh.
You know, I wouldn't read about, you know, the DNA of cats, you know?
I don't know. I do a radio show once a week, and I get exhausted from it. I can't imagine you, but you've been doing it longer than me. But
but you're talking. You're talking during the whole show. I'm sorry. I'm a 2-minute tidbits. But I think, and I actually think that what you're doing, you know, I would prefer, I mean, I love doing the radio show, but we do a podcast every now and then. I really prefer doing an interview.
Can we trade? Can we trade places one day?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I'm not going to be around forever. The fun thing for us too is that there's no adults involved. You know, we never, people tried to buy the show, you know, big networks wanted to, you know, to get involved with us, but we just knew that, and it's happening now, you know, iHeart and Cumulus, those guys, they're both great companies, but they're having to lay off a bunch of people because they overextended themselves, and so we've really just sort of gone at our own pace, and we've done it as a family, and I pinch myself every day, because it's the most amazing job in the world.
I know, when they said your name again, I'm like, of course I would talk to him every day, Intelligence for Your Life, every day I listen to you, so favorite human. Anyway, we have to talk about entertainment tonight for a minute. First of all, do you still talk to Mary Hart?
I do. In fact, I talked to her by text not long ago. Twitter blew up a little bit because people were like, well, who's Mary Hart?
Shame on them.
Young millennials, right? And then that devolved into, well, you know, she's the person who used to host the Entertainment Tonight with John Tesh. And they're like, well, who's John Tesh? And then somebody tweeted out a video of me doing the NBA basketball theme. And it was like, oh, that guy, you know. but it's funny, you know, because I've been off Entertainment Tonight since 1996.
Not the same thing.
So you're very kind. Most of the millennials, a lot of them know me as a radio guy, you know, and don't know the guy that was on Entertainment Tonight.
I'm still that millennial, but I'm aging myself. But I know you from everything. But it really isn't the same. It's hard for me to watch it now. Once you left, it was over for me.
That's sad. It's different though. You know, it really, when we were the only game in town, right?
Yeah.
People, they were closet Entertainment Tonight watchers. There were people who wouldn't admit that they watched it. Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, they weren't doing entertainment news. Now, entertainment news can lead a national broadcast, right? And you've got Access Hollywood, Extra, TMZ, E! Entertainment, cable. You know, there was no cable when I was doing Entertainment Tonight. And the wild thing about it was that the most popular thing on ET, there were two things, and one was, I would ask you to guess, but I'm not sure you would guess this. We did focus groups, right? And you know, we're all working hard, you know, interviewing people and trying to get the scoop on this and that. And the number one thing that came up in the focus group was the celebrity birthdays.
Really?
That's what people watched. That was it.
So I would have not guessed. You're right.
I know, right? Yeah, but we would have wasted our time because nobody guesses it. But the other thing was a movie trailer. So you know, think about it. Back in the day, they weren't running movie trailers on the nightly news. There was no internet, right?
That's right.
There was no MTV. So we were where you would see a movie trailer. People get so excited, or in a movie theater, of course, but. And there was no place other than the newspaper. You might get celebrity birthdays on the radio, right? But you wouldn't get the picture of the person.
Right.
And you wouldn't get the whole piece.
Was a good tidbit.
That was crazy.
Good tidbit. Was there anyone that you didn't get to interview or didn't meet? I can't imagine. Was there anyone that you didn't get to that you would have wanted to?
Yeah. The funny thing is that I actually didn't do a lot of the interviews. I the deal that I made with Entertainment Tonight was that I would come do the show, and they were very nice about this. I would work half a day, and I'd be able to go into a recording studio and record music, and that's one of the reasons I took the job out in Los Angeles instead of, you know, staying at sports. So the only interviews I really did was, they were really great about this, was music interviews. So, interviews with Eric Clapton and Peter Gabriel and everybody, Elton John. I love doing those interviews. And I did do some of the big celebrities, you know, at the Oscars and things. The one person who's actually our neighbor, the funniest thing, that I've never interviewed because he just doesn't like to do television interviews, is Jack Nicholson.
Oh, wow.
But it's funny because the place where we live, we live sort of in the woods, but we're also in that real sort of Hollywood area, right? So to our left is a development where one of the Kardashians just moved in, and Paris Hilton is there, and Tom Arnold.
Oh, you're really dropping names now, John.
No, it's not a good thing, because when Charlie Sheen lived there too, and when he was going through his stuff with when he was going through all that stuff, the helicopters were all over our house. But the reason I bring this up is that when you go to the Starbucks, right, which is sort of right in the middle of all this stuff, you walk into that little development, which is, you know, it's like an Italian place, and the Starbucks, and people like John Voight and Jack Nicholson, they're walking around. And for some reason, they're like, these guys, it's because I was on Entertainment Tonight for 10 years. They think that they know you, right?
Right.
And Nicholson will walk by, and he'll go, hey, Johnny, what's up, Johnny? You know, like, what? Why are you calling me Johnny, you know? And then John Boyd will come over and put his arm around, Johnny, what's going on? How's a lovely wife? You know, and it's like, I don't know these guys. But it's actually a really cool thing, because I never really lost that. I mean, I'm a Long Island boy, right?
Right.
So if I see, I interviewed Betty Davis once, I almost fainted.
Wow.
You know, I see these people, and it's I still don't know what to say. Connie was on Hotel, and Jim Brolin was on that with her. So we ended up going to the wedding reception when Jim married Barbara Streisand. And so I find myself over in the corner in the middle of this. The Connie leaves me, of course, and I find myself over in the corner. And I'm standing in front of Barbara Streisand, so she's asking me stuff, and I'm just going like, she's like, what's wrong, John? And I said, well, you're Barbara Streisand. And she goes, yeah, well, you're John Tesh. I said, yes, exactly.
See, you're so down to earth and normal. Oh my God! I could talk to you for my whole life, Connie. What's your secret to your happy marriage?
Just say yes to my wife. I mean, people always say that. It's actually just being nice to each other. You know, we have evolved. So I can't really tell you anything other than
be kind.
Be kind. Yeah.
Give what you want back. That's what I teach my two kids.
Yeah.
Treat others the way you want to be treated, and that's it. And you're healthy.
Yeah.
You're healthy.
Yes,
thank God. John Tesh, 6 days a week, Intelligence for Your Life. I don't even know what to say. You made my day, as always.
Oh, it's great. Hey, it was such an honor talking to you. Thank you for asking such good questions. It's good therapy for me, and I can always use some therapy, and I consider you a friend. So thanks again for this.
Oh, John, thanks so much. You really made my day. Thanks again. We'll talk soon. Send my love to Connie and Gib, and the kiss those babies.
I will.
Thanks, John.
Thanks. Great job.
Get lash extensions worth falling in love with. Longer, fuller lash extensions from Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Convenient, affordable, and fabulous. Look at me. I wear them. Their stylists will work with you to perfect the look you want. Their lashes are customized depending on the look you are seeking. From completely natural to dramatic to everything in between. Visit Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Book your appointment online at AmazingLashStudio.com, located in the Ridgeway Shopping Center, or call 203-635-2042. That's 203-635-2042.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I haven't heard any negative feedback from any of my patients who have been taking the product. I look at Balance of Nature and I look what it's doing for me as I've started taking it, and for the patients that I have that are taking it, it's been phenomenal.
In my practice, I was getting to the point where I couldn't have the strength to see that many patients anymore, and I was introduced to the fruits and veggies. Just slowly, my strength started to come back, and it was because of the good nutrition. I can't say enough good for Balance of Nature and what it's done for me. I recommend it to everybody.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Laura.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
You're listening to What's Up with Wendy. For more information on me and my show,
Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up With Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Lowy Sloan.
She has worked with Kelly Ripa, Hilary Duff, Sarah Jessica Parker, and is working with Shakira to train her for the Super Bowl halftime show. Joining me to talk about fitness and also talk about kicking off the new year with a 30-day challenge to help support people living with metastatic breast cancer. Welcome back, Anna Kaiser, and with her, Christina Hodgen, who was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer in 2015 and is very involved with MBC community. Welcome both of you to my show.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thanks for both of you being here. Okay, so Anna, how did you get involved with this?
So I'm thrilled to be partnering with Lily again on its Thriver movement, which we kicked off in 2018 together with the Thriver Pose and Flow, which was a pose that I created to represent the strengths of this community. It really was a symbol of the strength of this community to help raise awareness and funds to improve support for people living with metastatic breast cancer. And so here we are today, kicking off the new year with our 30-day Thriver Challenge. And we're gonna tell you a little bit more about that in a second.
It's what's amazing to me is approximately 30% of people with early stage breast cancer will have a reoccurrence, and some may develop MBC. It's amazing how the percentage is so large.
Yeah, Wendy, thank you for bringing that up, because I think a lot of people don't realize that when we talk about recurrence, it can mean that it's recurred in another place in your body. That's actually what metastatic breast cancer is. It's when it's moved from the primary site to another organ or maybe the bones in your body. And so it's actually an incurable form of cancer. There's no cure, and patients are in treatment for life with this type of cancer. And so this initiative is really wonderful for a community that can often feel really isolated and experience a lot of fear and anxiety that go along with a diagnosis like this.
And when I got involved, I personally didn't know a lot about the stats of metastatic breast cancer. And people hear a lot about breast cancer,
right,
but not metastatic breast cancer specifically. And it is the only terminal breast cancer is metastatic.
Well, I want to say that it's also complex, unpredictable, and currently, as you said, incurable disease, which is why this Thriver movement is so important. How do we get involved with this 30-day challenge, and how do we take part of it? And then, Christina, I want to switch back to you and your experience of living with MBC.
Okay, great. So go to the Facebook page, More for MBC. And there, every day for the next 30 days, we're going to be posting mindfulness activities, life hacks, wellness tips, so that we can help support the MBC community and get involved. Anyone can go on and get daily inspiration as well. I started yesterday with Shakira, giving her my mindfulness tip, which was do not turn your phone on in the morning until you are done with your morning routine.
Oh, wow.
That you have a chance. I know, right? That's
yeah.
Not so interesting.
Good one.
Just try it for a week, you know, and see if you can do it.
Do you think people could actually do that? Anna, you probably do it.
Yes. Well, when you give yourself that time, and let's say it's from 6 to 8 o'clock in the morning, very rarely is something going to happen that you can't get to at 8 o'clock and take care of.
True. So, very true.
You know, if you get up, you set yourself up for your day, you have that time, you erase the guilt, you're ready to go, and then you can be more focused and successful in your day. So for her, there's a lot going on right now.
Yes.
And she was getting overwhelmed. And the most important things for her in her morning are her kids and her workout. So I said, okay, keep your phone off until after you're done with those two things. And it worked so much better for her. And then she didn't have a million distractions going on, and she could really focus on the two things that are important for her to set herself up well for the day. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be posting lots of those kinds of inspiration and tips on the Facebook page at More for MBC. Anyone can go on. Please get involved. And also share your life hacks.
Absolutely. We need all the tips we can get.
We certainly do. Christina, you have been, you were diagnosed in 2015. Is that true?
That's
correct. With metastatic breast cancer. Tell us how living with that and what that's been like.
Yes, it was a very harrowing experience to be diagnosed, you know, with a terminal disease at the age of 34. Unfortunately, it's not an uncommon story. I know a lot of young women and men, because men can also get breast cancer, that have been diagnosed at a young age, as well as older. And it's been life-changing, to say the least. I have a completely different outlook now. I actually lost my father about 10 years ago, so cancer has touched my family in many ways. But what it has done is help me focus on the present and not worry so much about the future. And so these kinds of, I think, like meditation and yoga and these kinds of mental health activities can really help maintain that focus on the present, because the fear and anxiety can get really out of control.
Oh,
I mean, it's very scary. We have to get scans, you know, to check to see if we have progression. Progression in the cancer world is actually a bad thing. So you want to make sure you get your cancer under control and stable. And that requires a lot of, you know, patience. So we, you know, we're dealing with a lot of issues that normal people have as well. And then we have to deal with this additional stress of managing the disease, and especially around this time of year. I know my holidays were crazy. The last 3 months have been really insane, like work days. And so, you know, I kind of vowed this year to really just take care of myself, focus on, you know, making sure that my mental health and physical health are both intact. And so I was really excited to be a part of this challenge, because of all the people who need it, I am one of the people who definitely needs to take care of myself a little bit more. So I'm very excited to participate.
The most important thing you can do is take care of your emotional well-being.
Yep.
I'm sure you've learned a lot about that.
Yep,
and about
absolutely.
Taking care of yourself with all the stresses in the daily. I can't even imagine, and I'm, you know, you doing this and talking about it and coming, you know, raising awareness for it and this 30-day Thriver Challenge. For more information, please visit moreformbc.com. Put up your life hacks, which I think is, you know, encourage self-care, empowerment, inspiration for women and men living with MBC. And men can have this as well.
Absolutely. Yep. It's not as common, but men definitely get breast cancer, and so I think it's important. I appreciate you saying women and men, because it's often characterized
yes.
as a female disease, and, you know, that can really exclude these male patients.
Mm-hmm. I think the first time I had you on is when you first brought out, when you first came up with the pose,
yes.
was the first time you were on my show, and you've been a big advocate for this and a big support, and it's just amazing. And your fitness routines are rooted in movement and positive energy, which is why I think makes you so amazing and so important to people to know about you and to know about your fitness workouts, because I think it sums up everything.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a wonderful opportunity to be able to give back to this community and help them thrive and continue to thrive and hopefully, you know, make their days a little bit easier and give them some reprieve, because they're, you know, we're still working on new treatments and new day-to-day ways of dealing with it. So
one day they are going to find a cure. We just have to keep putting it out there. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Anna Kaiser, celebrity fitness trainer, and Christine Hodgen. I hope I'm saying your name correctly.
It's okay. Nobody gets it right. It's Hodgen.
Hodgen. Okay, I was close.
We were close.
Okay. Who is a very big supporter of MBC and has been living with it since 2015. Anna, tips for maintaining fitness goals. Share with us, please, especially for, you know, for all of us who are so busy in our daily life.
Yes. So definitely
put the
turn
phone away.
Off in the morning until
yes.
after you work out.
That's one of the best ones.
Yes. Do not bring your phone in with you to the workout unless there is an absolute emergency that you are waiting for. You can't do it. Promise. You can do it. It's also really good for your posture. I think that we have fallen out of touch with our posture and how we hold ourselves on a daily basis because we're constantly looking down at our phones and sometimes, depending on where you work, down at your computer. So we are putting our spine at risk and also developing poor posture. So there is a lot, you know, around the phone that you can do, not bring it into your workout, not turning it on in the morning if you work out in the morning, and then also thinking about your posture, lifting the phone up to eye level instead of dropping your head down.
And then also try and not overcommit to resolutions. Try to add one new thing into your fitness routine each month. So this month, maybe it is one new thing that you want to change about nutrition, or maybe it's cutting out sugar. Maybe it is just committing to work out 3 days a week, and you have the times, and there are meetings, and they are in your schedule, and you give yourself a gold star every time you go. And then you can start, you know, you can add another one next month. But
Anna,
let's not overcommit.
No, I love your energy, Anna. And training Shakira for the Super Bowl, what has that been like?
Oh, it's so exciting. You know, we've been working to get her ready for this for quite a while. It's not an overnight thing. She is such a symbol of, or, you know, an example of how much commitment it takes. Mm-hmm. And it's not a short-term fix. It is a long-term lifestyle.
Wow.
It's getting up every day and putting the work in, and sometimes you're too tired, but you're going to do it every single day. And those days add up. Mm-hmm. So it really is about longevity for whether you're Shakira or whether you are part of the NBC community. Committing to your fitness and wellness on a daily basis is incredibly important. So that's what we want to do for the next 30 days, is give them something to focus on every single day.
For more information, more4mbc.com. It's the 30-day Thriver Challenge to help raise awareness and funds to improve and support people with advanced breast cancer. So important. Anna Kaiser and Christine, thank you. Christine, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Of course, and we wish you
only health and good things and emotional well-being so much to you. And Anna,
thank you
so much for joining me again, both of you. Thank you so much. You can listen to this podcast. You can subscribe, What's Up with Wendy, and it will live on. So hopefully we all, you know, keep our positive energy going.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you both
awesome.
So much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get lash extensions worth falling in love with. Longer, fuller lash extensions from Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Convenient, affordable, and fabulous. Look at me. I wear them. Their stylists will work with you to perfect the look you want. Their lashes are customized depending on the look you are seeking. From completely natural to dramatic to everything in between. Visit Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Book your appointment online at AmazingLashStudio.com, located in the Ridgeway Shopping Center, or call 203-635-2042. That's 203-635-2042.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song.
You're listening to What's Up with Wendy. For more information on me and my show, follow me on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up with Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Lowy Sloan.
Multimedia reporter, host, brand ambassador, consultant, and TV beauty expert, welcome to my show, Millie Almodovar.
Thank you for having me.
Millie, thank you for being here. I want to backtrack just a little bit. And how did this all, you know, you're turning your love of fashion into an amazing career?
And I started off as a blogger in like 2003 when no one had blogs. And then Cosmopolitan, they started their Latin magazine. And one of the editors used to read my blog. And she just called me and said, hey, do you want to be the beauty editor of Cosmo for Latinas? And I said, yeah. And that's how it started. It's a dream come true.
Isn't it amazing just like that?
Yeah, it's insane, and it's just been getting better and better every year, so it's such a blessing.
Oh my gosh, lucky you. Okay, so tell us about some of the top fashion trends for this season. I mean, celebrities seem to always, like, set the style, I think, right?
Yes, and I think one of the biggest trendsetters is Meghan Markle. I mean, when she wears something, it, like, sells out in days. And a lot of people are crediting her for bringing back the color purple because, you know, people weren't really looking at purple, but recently she was seen in this gorgeous purple Aritzia dress. Everyone went crazy for it. And then Katie Holmes, everyone's talking about her post-breakup with Jamie Foxx, that she's become this fashion icon. And she was royal blue Gabriella Hearst dress. So now we know suits. You need a suit in your wardrobe and a purple dress.
Right, and we're seeing her so much more, too, which is so exciting.
I know, so much more. And she is looking killer. Just gorgeous.
She is looking amazing. I love it so much. Okay, and one thing I want to backtrack about Meghan Markle. I love Meghan Markle. The reason I love Meghan Markle is because we all can relate to her. Because she's so
relatable.
Right. It's not like she's always like dressed up and, you know, and down. We see her wearing other things besides, you know, the gowns, and we see her in jeans and like a plain white shirt and just simple, simple things that people can relate to with her. And I think that's what makes her even extra special besides all the wonderful things she's doing. I'm a huge fan of hers.
I'm such a huge fan. And that purple dress, it's funny, they just realized that she wore that purple dress before, and she wore it when she was pregnant.
Right.
So, you know, I love that she wears clothes again.
I love
it. Like we all do, right?
Yes, I love that too. I love it as well. Okay, so tips for the changing seasons.
Yeah, so the first thing I think that we start noticing is that our scalp becomes drier, right? When the weather gets cooler and our hair gets drier. So that's why it's important. I always tell everyone, spend a little more time treating your hair and choosing a really good shampoo and conditioner. Now, I recommend the Maui Moisture Heal Hydrate Plus Shea Butter Hair Mask. Now, Maui Moisture, they're known for their aloe vera-based formula, unlike any hair product on the market. Now, that aloe vera is going to provide extra hydration that your hair needs, especially during this time of the year. But this also has creamy shea butter. Mm. It has macadamia oil. It has coconut oil. All of these oils, they're going to just hydrate your hair and leave it so incredibly shiny and healthy. And the best thing about Maui Moisture is that all of their products are under $10, and you can find them at your local drugstore.
Okay, that's good too, because, you know, you go to the drugstore and there's so many choices, so you just knock that off for us. Millie, there's a lot of beauty challenges when it comes to the weather changing, right?
Oh, absolutely. And their 24-hour night collection. And this includes a fragrance-free moisturizer, a serum, and an eye cream. And it's designed in three forms to kind of make it easier to find the perfect place in your skincare routine. And it's formulated to hydrate for 20 or 4 hours with virtually no irritation. So it's going to give you smooth, bright skin for a visible transformation in just 28 days. And the great thing also is that it works for more than just wrinkles. So it has vitamin B3. It has peptides. And these ingredients are going to just reduce the visibility of your pores and also help with dull skin. Now, here's the interesting fact. More than 50% of women who've tried retinol before, they gave up after less than 1 month because they said it was either too expensive, they didn't see results, or it just irritated their skin. So this is why Olay Retinol 24-Hour is optimized for potency and skin penetration.
Okay. And so what are the essentials that we need for winter? And I'm talking fashion essentials. You know, like a great hat, a great pair of boots.
I always say a great pair of knee-high boots, especially now, a leather pair of knee-high boots, and a gorgeous, like, statement coat. I tell everyone, get a statement coat, because it doesn't matter what you're wearing under.
Right.
As long as you've got a cool statement coat, no one notices, you know? Everyone's just noticing your coat.
That's so true. Who do you follow? Like, who are the ones that you follow that are out there? What celebrities do you follow besides Meghan?
Besides Meghan, I actually really love Cardi B style.
Do you?
I love her clothes. Like when she was at Fashion Week, I just loved what she was wearing. You know, she again had like beautiful statement coats, tweed suits. She looked absolutely stunning. I've been really, really following Katie Holmes. I love her post-breakup look. I love that she is like owning her look now. And everyone's talking about how she's doing it after her breakup.
And I do love that we're seeing her out more too.
I feel like she was always in hiding when she was dating Jamie Foxx.
I know. Why was she in hiding?
I agree.
That's so funny. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her to come out.
I agree.
And some of the best accessories besides the coat.
The best accessories besides the coat, I would say a scarf. You can never go wrong with a gorgeous, you know, statement scarf. Like boots, and a big thing now is sequin boots. Sequin boots are huge, huge right now. And the 90s are coming back big time.
I love that the 90s are coming back. Now, is it the thick heel on the boot or is it the thin heel on the boot?
No, it can be the thick heel, but and the heel is accessorized.
Okay.
So it has, you know, some sort of like design on it or even like a sequin on it as well.
Oh boy, okay. If you just you know, I'm talking to beauty expert Millie Almodovar. Okay, what about makeup for the winter? What are the colors that you're seeing?
I would say the colors I'm seeing the most are burgundy lips, even black lips. Black
Seriously?
Lips are coming back in style. Blushes, but a little higher on the face, more towards your cheekbones.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what about nails? What do people do for their nails in the winter?
So now designs are still back. Designs are still back in style. Like, we're seeing a lot of, you know, people putting a lot of even like diamonds on their nails, a lot of zigzags. Just, you know, nail art, I feel like, will never go out of style.
Okay, so the changing seasons, it's easy to get ready for the winter with all the tips that you just gave us. What are your go-to outfits?
My go-to outfits. I would say, let me tell you, I'm like such a busy mom lately, but usually I have on mostly black. I'm wearing my black jeans, you know, like a black and gold shirt and a black leather, like a leather jacket that I've had forever, and I still get compliments on it. And, you know, it's crazy how when you're in all black, people think you're like super like chic and it's literally no effort at all.
Right. You can't go wrong. Just put on a black t-shirt, black leggings and go.
And everyone's like, you're so stylish. And I'm like, okay.
And there's nothing wrong with all black. It's very New York. It's very let's go. It's good.
Yes. And I am from New York, so absolutely.
Well, thanks for all those amazing beauty tips. Thanks for being here on the show. And we'll look forward to having you back again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
This show is brought to you in part by Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Get lash extensions worth falling in love with.
And is copyrighted by What's Up With Wendy for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast without What's Up With Wendy's consent is prohibited.
My show, What's Up With Wendy, is now a podcast. You can subscribe or download Apple Podcasts. They will roll out throughout the whole year and be available on Apple iTunes and Blog Talk Radio and many more. Thanks to all my amazing guests today. Have a wonderful weekend.
Follow Wendy on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up With Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Loewy Sloan. AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
I'm Tony Savino in the News Center. Here's what's trending on WGCH News. Times not chosen, a change of guard at a local business organization, and new information released about the Jennifer Dulos case. 4th District Congressman Jim Himes of Greenwich is not one of the impeachment managers selected by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Himes is one of the top Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee, but he was passed over. He had been on the list of possible managers who will lead the prosecution of President Trump in the Senate. He was not one of the 7 congressmen chosen as managers. The Stamford-based Business Council of Fairfield County is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, and the president and CEO of the organization for the past 29 years is stepping down at the end of the month. Christopher Brewell will retire to be replaced by Aaron Flynn. Business Council Vice President Lisa Mercurio says Brewell made a huge impact on the council and on Fairfield County.
Chris has had a very strong focus on the economic development issues that will, you know, that help our region grow as well as maintain our quality of life. Those issues that we have focused on have been transportation and workforce development, and over the decades has been frequently a strong advocate for transportation investment and improvement throughout the state, as well as working with higher ed.